We've all heard its many names: influenza, seasonal flu, or common flu. But how bad is it? And what does getting the flu shot have to do with protecting your heart? We are delighted to welcome to today's World Heart Podcast, Dr. Larry Sperling. With a list of accolades too many to mention, Dr. Sperling is the founder and former director of the Heart Disease Prevention Center at Emory University in the USA. Today he talks to the World Heart Federation in his capacity as professor in preventive cardiology, sharing insights into ways to safeguard our heart health, including through flu vaccination. I'm Lisa Hadid, and I'm joined by my co-host, Shreya Shrikande. Dr. Sperling, most people really do not automatically associate the flu with heart disease. So could you tell us what the relationship is between a flu infection and the risk that it can pose to cardiovascular health?
Lisa, this is a very important first question, and it is truly an honor to join you and Shreya on behalf of the World Heart Federation for this podcast. Most people think about the flu as a respiratory illness, and the flu is very impactful each and every year. I think we underappreciate the effect of the flu on many across the world. In fact, seasonal flu kills hundreds of thousands of people each and every year, and about 20% of the population in general worldwide is affected by the flu. Now, coming back to the heart, it is American Heart Month, February, so I think it's appropriate to talk about the heart. The flu, just like many viruses, can cause changes in the body acutely. The flu causes an upregulation of cells in our body related to inflammation, what we call oxidative stress, so the body is stressed, and having a virus can make the blood stickier. So acutely, the flu increases the risk of heart-related illness, and the flu, because it can stress the body in general, we talk about a supply-demand mismatch. So the flu sometimes can make you feel like you're running a stress test when you're not. People who are living with heart disease are at greatest risk of heart-related flu illness. However, there's a risk for the general public as well.
Thank you. I think it's really important to stress that while cardiovascular disease patients are at risk, this is actually a very real risk for everyone. What are some of the ways people can protect themselves against the risk that you just outlined? I know vaccines is one of them. There might be others, so please feel free to take us through all the steps we can take.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. I'm a preventive cardiologist, and so my focus, both with my patients, but in the work I do nationally and globally, is to prevent cardiovascular events. Getting a flu shot each and every year is a strategy for heart disease prevention, just like helping somebody stop smoking or treating their blood pressure or their cholesterol. And just in terms of percentage impact, we think in general, getting a yearly flu shot decreases the risk of a heart attack by about 45%. With each and every one of my patients in the office, at every visit, I ask about their vaccine status. And my patients know I'm going to ask if they've had a flu shot this year. Our office at Emory University School of Medicine, our Preventive Cardiology Center, has flu vaccine available in the office. In fact, our medical assistants, as they're checking the patients in, are asking the patients if they've had a flu shot. So it's really important that we, meaning clinicians, recognize the value of influenza vaccination each and every year, but also the general public. You should talk to your clinician or your clinical team or the resources in your community about getting a flu shot every year. Beyond a flu shot, there are many things we can do to reduce the likelihood of influenza or other viral illnesses. Just awareness of what's happening out in your communities. Right now, we have a peak in the US of influenza, and it's the highest spread of influenza in 15 years. So simple things like washing your hands frequently, because influenza is a droplet infection. It can be spread by others when they sneeze or cough, but also the virus can stick to the environment. So if we touch things in our environment, touch our nose, our mouth, our face, so washing your hands frequently. Also, if you're ill, wear a mask to protect others. And then just when you're in a crowded area in the general public, you want to take precautions to be either wearing a mask or watching your distance, because influenza spreads rapidly throughout our communities.
Dr. Spelling, you talk a lot about getting infected with the flu and the flu virus and the importance of getting vaccinated. We understand there is a risk, but just how real is it?
Yeah, this is important for our listeners. It's a very real concern. Through scientific evidence and several studies, we know that the risk of a heart attack goes up 6 to 10 times within 1 week of having a flu infection. And it comes back to the why. It's because the body is stressed, the body is inflamed, and the platelets, the cells that cause stickiness within our blood vessels, get activated. People living with heart disease are at greater risk of being hospitalized acutely, often with heart attacks or heart failure. But I think another important message is it is safe to get a flu vaccine after you've been hospitalized. In fact, after being hospitalized for a heart attack or heart failure, we know a flu vaccine can be delivered safely before a patient's discharged. And this is something that I think the general public should be aware of, the true risk of getting the flu vaccine and the true heart risk. But it's also important for the general public and for clinicians to recognize the safety of flu vaccine, even in the setting of an acute illness.
When you talked about the body being stressed and inflammation, it made me think of a term that I'd never heard before, and we all heard it during COVID, and we all became pseudo experts. It was the cytokine storm or something like that. Is that correct? What is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, so our body is very intricate, and normally there's a balance in health. Many different cells are working hard to keep us healthy. Many different systems are working hard to keep our health ourselves healthy. But when the body is challenged by an external factor, so here in this case the flu, the body reacts. And the body often reacts by a red alert. And the red alert is production of these cytokines. These are substances in the blood that are working hard to fight against a threat or illness. But sometimes cytokines can unintentionally work against us because they're trying to fight infection. But the cytokines can increase the likelihood of challenging our hearts.
So, is that reaction, that so-called cytokine or cytokine storm, is that necessarily more threatening in someone with a comorbidity, with someone who is already grappling with disease like diabetes or pulmonary obstruction of any kind? Or could that reaction happen even in an ordinarily healthy person?
Yeah, Lisa, that's an important question. Those living with chronic illnesses are more vulnerable or susceptible to cytokines and changes in blood coagulation or stickiness. But even a healthy person can be at risk because many healthy adults are unaware that they're living with silent heart disease. And getting the flu can be a challenge that that person's never experienced before and can activate a heart condition that has been clandestine or hidden.
Excellent. I think that's much clearer for me and probably for many of our listeners as well.
Dr. Spelling, coming back to your point about vaccines as a preventive strategy for influenza infections, how is the flu vaccine implemented around the world, and what are some of the differences that you might see regionally?
Thank you, Shreya. So, influenza circulates the globe each and every year. This virus changes. So, as the vaccine is developed, it is developed with the anticipation of some of the changes in the strains of the viruses that are circulating. But because globally, let's just think of the equator as the center point, flu will circulate typically in the beginning of, well, I'd say late fall to winter months into the spring. And so if you're living in the southern hemisphere, your seasons are different than in the northern hemisphere. In fact, living in the northern hemisphere, we often look at what's happening in terms of rate of flu and strains of flu in the southern hemisphere to try to anticipate whether this will be an aggressive flu season.
And in terms of vaccination uptake, do you see any differences in different regions or countries around the world, for example?
Yeah, Shreya, we know that health is local. Also, trust is local. So, of course, it's really important, and this is some of the work that the World Heart Federation is doing, is raising awareness about the benefit of getting a flu vaccine each and every year. But as we've done some research, and I know you've been involved in some of that research, myself as well, we've started to ask questions, both of clinicians and of people living in various communities about their knowledge, and also their attitudes and beliefs about flu vaccine. As you would imagine, knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs vary across the world, but they vary locally. And there are many people that still don't have access to a yearly flu vaccine. So that's really important. But in terms of knowledge and trust, just in general related to medical care, the most trusted person is typically the doctor, the clinician, and it's typically those that we have established a relationship with.
The question of regional uptake is one that is actually very close to my heart, Dr. Spelling. I actually grew up in the Caribbean, not far from the equator, you might say. And I remember rigorous rollout of vaccination programs on polio. In fact, I still have the scar on my arm when I pulled away from the vaccine for typhoid fever. I cannot, however, recall anyone talking about getting the flu vaccine. Is this something that is changing in low and middle income countries? Is awareness growing in those regions? Is access improving?
Yeah, I would say thankfully, although there are significant disparities in health and healthcare and access and awareness, we are seeing greater awareness in those living in low and middle income countries. I think some of this is related to the work of the World Heart Federation. They recently released an influenza toolkit, and the toolkit was predominantly targeting those in the care elements, so clinicians, physicians. Just trying to help them guide their patients through the steps to become more aware that flu vaccine is a yearly strategy for heart disease prevention. And if you think about it, you get a flu shot once a year as opposed to taking a blood pressure medicine every day or a cholesterol medicine every day. So it's an effective, although not perfect, strategy. Now, coming back to global variation, abstracts that the World Heart Federation presented this past year looked at the role of both healthcare practitioners and the general public in terms of knowledge and communication related to flu vaccine. And they looked across five countries: the Czech Republic, France, Japan, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia. It was a quite interesting study because there were differences in the appreciation of costs, side effects, and also concerns about, lack of effect. In general, adoption of influenza vaccine across the world, we say is about 60 to 65%, but there are populations where we see much lower adoption.
You raise very interesting points about the role of healthcare professionals in encouraging patients to get flu vaccines. Could you comment a little bit now on your own experiences or those of your colleagues and patient attitudes or beliefs about the flu vaccine? So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face?
Yeah, Shreya, as I mentioned, I'm a preventive cardiologist. I'll be seeing patients in our clinic tomorrow. I'll be asking them if they've had a flu vaccine this year. But I'll also be asking them about other vaccinations. As you would imagine, these are both challenging times in healthcare, in public health, in population health, and global health. But there's never been a more important time to be a trusted clinician. So I think it's really important that as a clinician, we learn how to listen. We often talk about a term vaccine hesitancy. We shouldn't be blaming people that have questions and concerns. It's good to have questions and concerns. So if I have a patient who hasn't had a flu vaccine yet, I start by asking why. Tell me more. What are your questions? What are your concerns? And in a non-confrontational way, it's my role as a healthcare professional to help address some of those questions. And often patients are unaware of the data related to influenza vaccination. Of course, there's no therapy in medicine that's completely perfect, but by getting a flu vaccine, it reduces the likelihood of severity of influenza illness if you were to get the flu. And then the term herd immunity was frequently used in the midst of the COVID pandemic. People don't want to be a part of the herd. But I use the term community immunity because I hope we all want to be part of our community, most importantly, our own family. But by getting a flu vaccine, even if we're healthy, although healthy people are still at risk for influenza-related illness, we contribute to the greater immunity of those we love and care about in our office. For clinicians, we talk about the five A's, although, this is a podcast for the general public, but we should ask, we should listen, we should advise, we should assess. And it's our role not to convince people to take a medication, have a vaccine, have a test or a procedure, but it's our role to be a partner in care, so to assist and to arrange. In our office, arranging is we often will give a flu shot right there during the office visit.
Dr. Sperling, you mentioned the COVID pandemic, and it's now 5 years. It might seem a long time away, but it did raise a lot of doubts, and it did engender a lot of misinformation. You just mentioned the vaccine hesitancy element. Do you feel that the pandemic has hindered efforts to get people to get the flu vaccine, protect themselves against cardiovascular conditions that might make a flu infection worse?
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. It's a reminder to all of us that the last 5 years have truly been heart-wrenching, and they've been a blur, to be honest. Hard to believe what we have all experienced, a horrific time, honestly. And trying to respond to a pandemic is not easy. So I do think there's been a change in trust in some populations, concerns about public health entities or and entities that are talking about benefits of health and healthcare and healthcare delivery. But I come back to partnership, and each and every one of us needs to be a partner in care. It's okay to have some concerns. It's okay to have questions. And this is what you should do when you see your doctor or your clinical team. If you don't have a regular doctor or clinical team, I think it's important for people in the general public to be involved and empowered in their care to improve their own health, that of their family, and that of their community. And then we come back to influenza vaccine each and every year as a strategy for heart disease prevention. When I'm talking to my patients, they're often unaware of this benefit. And whether they have known heart disease or risk for heart disease, when I share this with them, they often stop and say, wow, nobody's ever told me that before. And I think it's a point that you made that makes it more imperative for me to get a flu vaccine this year.
Dr. Sperling, I'm so glad that you mentioned how it's okay to have questions and to ask them, because there's so many myths surrounding the flu vaccines and people have a lot of questions and even confusions about it. So we thought of having a little Ask the Expert session with you here. So if you don't mind, I have three questions which frequently might confuse people about the flu vaccine that I'd like to ask you. So the first one is, who should take the flu vaccine? Is it just people who have pre-existing cardiovascular diseases or other risk factors, or can everybody take it?
So first, Shreya, I think it's important how we frame the overarching questions you're asking me. In my work in public health, population, and global health, you know, we often discuss myths. I think it is really important that we focus on truths and not myths. Because sometimes when we talk about myths, we unintentionally propagate those myths. So let's talk about influenza vaccine truths. Evidence tells us that all people should get a flu vaccine each and every year if they're over the age of 6 months. This is a U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommendation. Now, we mentioned there are some people that are more vulnerable to influenza-related illness, people over age 65, those living with chronic conditions, those with a body mass index greater than 40, children under 5 years of age, and those who are immunocompromised. But each and every one of us should get a flu vaccine every year. I get my flu vaccine for myself, for my family, and for my community. But as a healthcare worker, you know, we want to be part of the solution. And the last thing I want to do is be a conduit for influenza illness with my patients when I'm providing care.
I really like your point about reframing it as influenza truths rather than myth busting. So the second question I have is kind of related to what you just said about getting the flu shot each year. But why is it recommended to take it every year, unlike most other vaccines, which are only taken once or a few times per lifetime?
Yeah, so we come back to the yearly flu vaccine as a strategy for not only reducing the likelihood of respiratory illness, the severity of flu if you were to get the flu, but also as a strategy for heart disease prevention. Once a year compared to taking a pill every day is not so bad in terms of the benefits we get for heart disease prevention. But why do we have to do this every year? It's because the flu vaccine is tricky. The flu vaccine mutates and changes. And so if we think about the best strategies, it's trying to match the strain of the flus that are circulating worldwide to the vaccine each year to try to get the best benefit. It would be amazing if we could have a flu vaccine once in our life, like some other vaccines. But at least to date, this is the science, this is the evidence, and this is the best strategy.
And the last question in this little mini session I have is, can pregnant women take the flu vaccine? Is it safe to do so?
Yeah, absolutely. And completely understand. You know, I've never been pregnant myself, but we have two sons, and you know, as a husband and a father, understand that our most important gems are our children, especially during pregnancy, wanting to be sure it's a healthy pregnancy. But it is safe to get the flu vaccine during pregnancy. And we know not only is it safe, but getting the flu vaccine helps protect both the mother, especially during the later stages of pregnancy, and the baby, the unborn baby and newborn baby.
Dr. Spelling, I'm just really impressed and amazed by some of the things that you're explaining to us and our listeners today. There's one point you made, and I remember it literally. You've said there's never been a more important time to be a trusted clinician, and also you've evoked the importance of being a partner in care. There's so much to reflect on. I just wonder if there are any final takeaways that you would like to share with our listeners today, and key advice that you want us to take to our family and to our friends.
Yes. So thank you, Lisa. And first of all, Lisa and Shreya, thanks for hosting this important podcast on behalf of the World Heart Federation. I'm so glad I could join you because this is an important message, but messages need to be listened to, not heard, and messages need to be shared. So I think a take-home message that I'd like to share with your listeners is to share the messages today with your friends, your coworkers, your family, your neighbors, and members in your community, because you can be a part of making your community a healthier community, in fact, a heart healthier community. What a wonderful thing. And coming back to the safety and trust, it is the most important thing we as clinicians or as an organization like the World Heart Federation can do. Safety and trust is foundational. And as much as we can impact that safety and trust, either as being somebody's doctor or a trusted organization like the World Heart Federation, we are contributing to greater good, but it's a team effort, right? And the most important members of the team are those that we serve.
Dr. Sperling, you have certainly given all of us a lot to think about to make the best choice for our health. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast episode and for sharing the reminders and the tips for keeping our hearts in good shape. And thank you to our listeners who continue to tune in their numbers. Remember, you can hear this podcast again, share it, and tune in to many more by going to World Heart Podcasts on all major platforms.